From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. More than 21 million Americans have lived within 3 miles of a large wildfire, and almost 600,000 of them found themselves inside the fire lines. And according to new research, over the last 20 years, the number of people directly exposed to wildfire has doubled. And those reasons, well, they may surprise you. Moji Sadi is an associate professor of civil engineering at Boise State University. He did this research, and he's joining us now to talk more. Moji, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get to the why of this, can we look at the numbers for a minute? Because you found that the number of people exposed to wildfires has doubled, and that's a really big number. So talk to us about that first.
Well, yeah, that's correct. It's actually more than doubled in the lower 48 states. It's 125% increase in 20 years. That is more than double. And if you just look at the Western United States, the 11 states that are in the West, that is almost tripled. So a lot of those exposures are in the West, and it's getting worse and worse by the year. I mean, we got to consider this, that a lot of our results are dependent on individual events, right? So like the campfire happens and in California in 2018 was, and then a lot of people are exposed, and that basically changes the whole trend. But what's happening now is that these extreme events, these singular events that impact more and more people, are becoming more and more frequent. So the trends that we are presenting in the paper might be an underestimation, given that, you know, we are having a lot more of these, you know, giant mega fires that are close to towns and burning through towns.
Mm-hmm. So you're a climate scientist. Can you tell us what that is exactly and what you do in your position?
Well, we look at how climate is changing and how that relates to wildfire danger. Specifically, I mean, part of my research is only focused on the physical drivers, looking mm-hmm. at how vegetation changed, how climate changed, temperatures increased, precipitation patterns shifted, because these are all things that work together to create that physical fire danger. Now, we also look at some of the societal aspects, like, people have moved to new places. People have started a lot of new fires. 84% of all fires in the United States are human started. So these are the two aspects of the wildfire that we look at. I want to specifically talk about the climate, and then we get back to the societal aspects. What we are seeing is the dry season is lengthening. So the length of time between the last precipitation that we have in the spring and the mm-hmm. first precipitation that we have in fall or winter has lengthened, and we don't have too many wetting events. So we might have sporadic rainfall events that they do not wet the vegetation. Those are not going to happen. A wetting precipitation event, meaning that we had at least 0.1 inch of rainfall that helped increase the moisture in vegetation, those events are disappearing. They are not happening anymore. And the length of time between the two precipitation events means that our vegetation are going to be bone dry when it gets to fall. And in a lot of the states in Idaho, we don't have that problem a lot, but a lot of the Western, like the West Coast states, is that they are going to have all these catabolic winds. These are winds that go from the mountain toward the ocean. These are high winds. And if this, dry vegetation continues to be dry, when those winds pick up, then that's recipe for disaster. For a mega fire, you need hot, dry, windy conditions. And the dry is there. Hot is getting hotter, right? So we are seeing that we are getting, all these heat waves that are happening. Every year we are having more and more hot days. So heat is we have abundant heat in the West. Mm-hmm. And then the windy situation is what I told you about, that catabolic winds, especially in the West Coast states. And that's the recipe for disaster. That's why some of these mega fires that impact communities happened.
So in this study, my understanding is that you looked at more than 15,000 wildfires over a 20-year period. And so with that, let's look at why so many people are being exposed to wildfire. I think the natural assumption would be because it's so many people, you know, move to natural areas, right? And then they build their houses deeper into the wildlands. However, your study found that that isn't always what's happening here.
That is a true statement. Yeah, we expected, we wanted to figure out whether it's people that are moving to areas that are fire prone. Well, every area in the Western U.S. is fire prone. But anyway, people moving into areas that are more wildland, there is wildland vegetation and that they can burn, right? Or is it that wildfires are encroaching upon existing communities? Those are communities that have been there from, like in the case of Camp Fire, the paradise in California was built in the 1850s, but the entire city was wiped out, almost wiped out of the face of the earth by the Camp Fire, right? So it's what we are finding here is that more than 70% of the trend of increasing population exposure to wildfires or because of fires encroaching upon existing communities. So these are communities that have been there.
Right.
But now the fires are happening and the fires are becoming uncontrollable. Again, coming back to that hot, dry, windy situation that I described a few minutes ago, those situations are becoming worse and worse. And then what happens is that, oftentimes we have too many fires that the fire management, the fire response resources are spread thin across the country. And what happens is that when the fire starts, if we do not control the fire in the first 24 hours, that initial attack, that window can change between fires. But anyway, if we do not control fire when it starts, then as it grows, it becomes really hard to control. And now what we are finding in this paper is that this is more of the fires that ran out of control and burned the existing communities that dominated the trends compared to people going to areas that have burned.
And so are these coming into the communities, these fires, moving into the communities because of what you just said, in the sense that they're not being able to attack these fires in the first 24 hours, and so then the fires move so quickly into these existing communities?
That is correct. I should also mention that, by moving into the wildland area, they're also creating another problem I'm referring back to the other side of my research focus is being that humans dominate the number of ignitions, right? So the number of wildfire ignitions are dominated by humans. Now, more and more people moving into the wildland means more and more ignitions can happen in the wildland. A lot of them, almost all of them, well, there are some arson fires that happen, but most of these fires are happening by mistake. People don't want to. They're doing fireworks, or they have a campfire that escapes, or the car is too hot and they stay on the grass and the grass catches fire. Anyway, so by moving into the wildland area, they're increasing the number of ignitions also in the wildland area, and that's another source of threat. But that wasn't the dominant factor, at least in the period of study that we had between 2000 and 2019. It was mainly that weather/climate-driven changes that are making fires uncontrollable.
So you also looked at some scenarios for future fire years, and you found that Western wildfires are likely just going to keep getting bigger. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So what we see, that those number of dry, hot, windy conditions are increasing. We did a study a while back in Southern California, and we noticed that the number of mega fire critical or the number of critical fire danger days. These are those hot, dry, windy days that can be conducive to megafires. In Southern California, that number of days tripled in the past 30 or so years. And that occurs across the Western U.S. I mean, we have that similar situation everywhere. So the climate is getting worse and worse in terms of when fires can happen, those dry, hot, windy conditions. Now, there has been some discussion in the literature that, hey, you know, when you don't have enough vegetation to burn, these fires are going to, you know, reduce, right? So we are, when a previous fire burned an area, there is not enough vegetation for the next fire to burn. But the study that a colleague of mine, John Abadzoglu, have done showed that's not the case. What's happening is that the fires are burning areas and then new vegetation comes in. You know, we have shrubs, grass that grows immediately after fire. And then we have new trees that grow after fire. And what's happening is, you know, we are going to have regrowth of vegetation. So there is not going to be, at least for the next couple of decades, there's not going to be a lack of vegetation to reduce the number and extent of fires. That's the projection for the next couple of decades. Now, we also have another problem here is that a lot of the old growth forests, they are resilient to fires, right? So when the fire happens, the good fire is underground fire. So it burns the litter, it burns the brush, it doesn't get to the canopy of the trees. When the fire gets to the canopy of the trees, then that becomes a really disastrous fire. A lot of these old growth forests that we have, especially in Idaho, we have a lot of them, right? So they are, these are tall trees that don't have a lot of branch on the ground. So when the fire happens, the fire burns the surface, the trees are resilient to that fire. No problem for them. Now, when the severe fires happen and burn these old growth forests, then the new trees that come down, come over, they are short, they're underground, they're dense. So when they burn quickly, they burn severely, and they are not resilient to fire. So that's another problem that we have with this regrowth of vegetation.
So what can we do as just average citizens to help mitigate this?
First and foremost, don't start wildfires. You know, campfire, the largest fire that we had last year in Salmon Chalice area was a campfire that escaped, right? So a lot of these fires we can directly control. We can just not start them. But also, you know, average person, I mean, the best thing that comes to my mind is you know, the immediate is not to start fires. But also, if you live in areas that are fire prone, first of all, don't think that your house is not fire prone. Everyone, if you have vegetation around your house, you're living in a fire prone area. So go to FireWise. This is a website that you can get a lot of good information about how you can reduce the risk of fires for your community. Because a lot of times what happens is that a lot of the fire response resources are allocated to regions that are not fire-wise. They have not cleared the vegetation around their houses. 100 yards around your house, you should be almost clear of any vegetation that's tall.
Okay.
These are things that you can help with, because if the fire is not threatening your house, the fire resources can go to other fires that are threatening houses. Now, again, think about that campfire that I was just discussing, or the fires in Oregon in 2021. The problem in 2021 for Oregon was that a lot of the national resources were focused in California. California had a really bad fire year that year, started in summer. And then when the Oregon fires happened, resources were just spread too thin. Right. Mm-hmm. So by securing your house, by making your house safe, you can also help other people nationally.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about this and the study as well. We've been talking with Moji Sadi, an associate professor of civil engineering at Boise State University. He has a new study out about wildfires. We will, of course, put a link with more information on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.